This is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the messages and the music ministry of Pastor Wentley Phipps. And as your host, I'm inviting you to stay tuned because we've got an interesting message for you today. Interesting in many different ways from some of the other messages that we present here on The More Abundant Life. Watchman, what of the night? That's the title for today's message. This is program number 271 in our series. And the message will begin, but before that message, here is some special music by Pastor Wentley Phipps. From the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream, here is a song entitled Eternal Life.
To eternal life.
That is music by Wintley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney, your host for today's program. Our message is going to begin now, the message entitled, Watchman, What of the Night? Here's Pastor Phipps now with that message.
It was a time of great suffering for the people of God. The Syrians had conquered Judah and held all the nations round about her borders under oppression and domination. In this time of test and trial, God raised up a prophet, a man by the name of Isaiah, and he gave Isaiah a vision. In this vision, Isaiah saw the persecuted nations pass before him one by one. Philistia, Moab, Damascus, Ethiopia, Egypt, and Arabia. In his vision, Isaiah saw that all of these nations were downcast and disheartened, discouraged and desponding. To each nation, he delivered a prophecy. The scriptures call it an oracle. A prophecy. For each nation, Isaiah had a word from the Lord. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to the oracle of Duma, or the prophetic word God spoke to Duma. Come with me and see Isaiah standing there, high upon a ridge between Judah and her neighboring nation, Duma. He stands there in vision alone, enveloped by darkness. Above him is night, below him is night. And as Isaiah stands there in vision, he hears a voice coming out of Duma, coming out of Seir. In prophecy, Seir or Duma refers to Edom. And Edom is a prophetic synonym for the world and the enemies of God. So the prophetic voice of warning given by Isaiah comes not out of Judah, but out of Edom, out of the world to Judah. It comes, are you with me this morning? A voice comes from out of the world and it speaks to the people of God. This voice from out of the world cries out to the church, Watchmen, what of the night? Watchman, is the night nearly over? Do you see any light on the horizon? Watchman, people of God, any sign of the dawn? How much longer before the breaking of the day? In ancient days, it was the duty of the watchman to patrol the walls of the city and to sound the alarm in case of danger. These watchmen were placed at the entrance of the cities in watchtowers. And everyone knew that to be a watchman was dangerous, difficult, and serious work. The watchman knew that the fortunes and lives of the entire nation were placed in his care and keeping. He knew that the safety of the empire hung on his word and the sound of his trumpet. The watchman didn't have time. He had to be a special kind of personality. He didn't have time to worry about what others had to say about him. The watchman didn't have time to be distracted. He couldn't afford to be distracted. He had to be awake when others were sleeping. He had to be a special kind of personality. He had to be engaged. He had to be focused. He had to be serious. He had to be awake when others were sleeping. The saints could sleep, but the watchman couldn't sleep. He had to remain vigilant and alert. He had to keep his eyes on the horizon and look for the approach of danger. The job of the watchman was to protect the careful as well as the careless. He had to warn, are you with me? He had to warn the careful and the careless. And his job was to give the trumpet a certain sound. Now the watchman, he was not the ruler of the city. He wasn't the commander of the garrison, but he was just as important. Amen. When he saw signs of disaster and danger, his job was to tell the people to wake up. And after he had warned them, he knew he had done his job. If the people chose to remain asleep or go back to sleep, they did so at their own peril. And if the city was lost as a result, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't the watchman's fault. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Praise the Lord for his holy word. Just before the book of Daniel, helping some people find the word of God this morning. Ezekiel 33. And listen to what Ezekiel said there. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people. Hallelujah. Say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their what? Watchman. And if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He what? He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned and the sword comes and takes any one of them away, that man is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Serious business to be a watchman. The watchman had to be clear on what his job was. He was not the weatherman. He was not the businessman. He was not the lawyer. He was not the doctor, the investment banker. He was a watchman. I came here to tell you this morning that on this rostrum, you got three watchmen. God has called us, we who are preachers, to be watchmen. God has called the preacher to do many things, yes, but none is more important than the call to be a watchman. Anyone who has accepted the position as a Christian minister has accepted the post of a watchman, and we can't afford to be distracted. Y'all handle that other business. Don't let us get distracted. We have to be wide awake when you're asleep, spiritually. We have to remain alert and vigilant. We have to look to the horizon for the approach of danger. We are watchmen. And as I read the handwriting on the wall of current events, as I read the clouds that have gathered on the horizon, as I read the prophecies of final events, this is one watchman who can tell you that the world is now in the final watch of a dark and terrible night. And this is one watchman who is going to lift his voice this morning and tell you morning is coming. And our responsibility as watchmen is to warn the church of the consequences of living in sin. Because if we don't, your blood is on our hands. Folks say, I want to be a preacher. You better be careful what you're getting into. My responsibility as a watchman is to have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Hey, are you with me? My responsibility is to be aware of the signs of the times. When someone says to me, watchman, what of the night? I can't be talking about, I don't know. I can't see. I've got to be able to say it's dark now, but morning is coming. Gross darkness is settling over this mean and dangerous world, spiritually, morally, ethically. We're at the darkest hour of Earth's history, but morning is coming. And even if the church doesn't shine as brightly as it should, we're supposed to be a city set on a hill. But even if we don't shine as brightly as we should, somebody's got to say morning is coming. Whether the church is shining or not, morning is coming. Watchman, do you see any light yet? Preacher, how much longer before this night of evil and sadness is over? We are encompassed about with darkness. We're stumbling beneath the load of guilt and fear. Watchman, preacher, how much longer before the night is over? The strain of life is more than we can bear. The burdens are heavier than we can carry. How much longer before the night is over? We've tried the astrology kick, and it hasn't worked. We tried to reach Jean Harris, but she's dead now. Watchman, how much longer before the night is over? We called the Psychic Friends Network. They don't know. They didn't even have the sense enough to know, and then couldn't even see far enough into their own future to know they were gonna go bankrupt. Watchman, the palm readers and fortune tellers can't tell us when this night of darkness will pass. So we've come to the church this morning. We came to the keepers of the prophecies. We came to the preachers of the keys. We've come to the home of the prophets, to the servants of the God of Israel. We've come to the watchmen on the walls of Zion. And we want to know, what of the night? How much longer this war and killing and assassination? How much more murder and bloodshed and mayhem? Children killing children. How much longer? And the watchman replies, the morning is coming. But right now we've got night, but morning is coming. The night is still here. Watchman, when will the morning come? We can't take more of this darkness. I want you to know I guess I'll start dating myself. I'm old enough to remember a time when light and electricity was a luxury. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. In those days, you had to learn to endure the darkness. You had to learn to live with darkness. Electricity was a luxury. Yes, you're looking at me. I lived during those days. I know I don't look it, but I did. Sometimes when I close my eyes and I go back to the old country, I can still smell the kerosene and the amber. I can still see the amber glow of lamps keeping somebody's home bright. I remember once walking home at night with my father down some dark and treacherous country road, and as hard as I tried not to, I kept stumbling in the darkness, and my father told me to try a little trick he learned as a boy. He promised it would help me to see better in the dark. He said, put your hand over your entire forehead like this. He said, and you'll be able to see much better in the dark. Well, I tried it, and it seemed to work. I must say that I know of no scientific basis for putting your hand over your forehead to help you see in the dark. Maybe I was learning to walk by faith, the light of faith. I don't know for sure, but this I know, that we are living in a time when men and women everywhere are stumbling in the dark. Night has fallen on our world, and we are living in that time that corresponds exactly with God's prophetic program. We are right in line with God's prophetic plan, the plan he outlined in his word. And according to God's timetable, we are living in the closing days of the history of this earth. It is an awesome realization that the very next significant event on God's calendar for planet earth is the return of his son. That's an awesome realization, that on God's calendar, where it says earth, you know what I'm talking about. You have your little calendar. I have my little palm top. On God's calendar, the next event is the arrival of the light of the world. What of the night? Morning is coming. The sun of righteousness is about to rise. One day someone asked him, asked Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The master didn't take the time to explain the various prophetic times and dispensations. He simply said, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But hang on, the end is not yet. Nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, some people think that all this bad weather is because of El Nino. I went and I researched in the spirit of prophecy. Let me read you what I found. Listen to this. Servant of God says, as I hear of the terrible calamities that from week to week are taking place, I ask myself, what do these things mean? The most awful disasters are following one another in quick succession. How frequently we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes. You didn't hear what I said this morning. How frequently, she says, we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes, of destruction by fire and flood, with great loss of life and property. Apparently, these calamities are capricious, outbreaks of seemingly disorganized, unregulated forces. But in them, God's purpose may be read. Lord have mercy. When a tornado touches down, God's purposes can be read. They are one of the means, she says, by which he seeks to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. God's trying to warn somebody. Listen to this. Oh, by the way, that's from the 8th volume of the Testimonies, page 252. Listen to this. She says, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. In other words, he uses storms and tornadoes and bad weather to bring into his possession souls who are not ready to meet their Savior. Listen to what she says. She says, he has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature. And he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. Oh, yes. It is God, she says, that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. I heard someone on the news, I think it was Dan Rather the other day, saying, this is the first time that tornadoes have touched down in populous areas. And we think that it's, the reason for that is because there's more open land than there are cities. But where I read, the servant of the Lord says, it is God who shields us from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world, we have shown contempt for the law of God. And the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Listen carefully, please. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. Did you know that? I'm going to need a glass of water today. I asked somebody to pray for me because I knew this message was a serious message. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor... Listen, Satan will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs. And he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. Have mercy, Jesus. Can I go on this morning? In accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, earthquakes in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follows. He imparts, thank you, to the air a deadly taint. In other words, brothers and sisters, this demon is busy. It's not El Nino. Watch me. What do you see out there in the night? Night is upon us. But morning has come.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today and to the end of our program for today, or just about to the end of our program. Before we close the program, however, I want to let you know that you may obtain an audio copy of today's message if you so desire. Here's what you need to do. You need to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again would be 301-577-6342. At that phone number, you will be asked for a program number. And today's program number is number 271. That's program number 271, which will reference the title, Watchman, What of the Night? The good folks there at the Seabrook Church will be happy to help you out with an audio copy of this program, if you so desire. Here also at the More Abundant to Life radio broadcast, we're so appreciative to our listeners for support in so many ways. Your prayers are so much appreciated. Your comments and the encouragement that you give through those comments, we appreciate those so very, very much. And also your financial contributions, those are also most appreciated. Please know that here at the More Abundant Life, we love you very much. Please join us again for another program. I do hope that you will. But until then, I want to point you to the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life. This is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program. Join us again. Until then, I'll see you later.
Give what's in your heart.